take your Bible this evening and turn to the famous verse, John 3:16. John chapter 3, verse number 16. John chapter 3, verse number 16. Once you find it, why don't you go ahead and stand with me? John chapter 3, verse number 16, and we're going to read that one verse. I'll read it out loud, and you can follow along silently. And the Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here we see a verse about the great giver. The great giver. We're going to talk tonight. I call the sermon, "How We Are to Give to the Lord." Let me pray. Father, bless us tonight. Take the simple sermon. Use it to help us. To many, it's just a reminder. To some, it's truly a compliment because they already follow your plan of giving. To others, it will be learning, training, and instruction. For a few, it could be a little haunting in the sense that if we're disobedient to you, we've hurt ourselves. So I pray, God, that you'll bless the sermon tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Let me say something to you right off the bat. I'm going to talk about giving. It's going to have a lot to do with about just, how we handle our finances in regard to the Lord. I would tell you this. Our church is not frantic for money. I don't preach sermons like this because I'm trying to get something out of you. Our bills are paid. They're paid fine. And we pay them every week. And so our offerings are strong. I'm just teaching the Bible and I want it to help you. If I can help you with your finances, you'll do better in life. And that's certainly what we want to accomplish. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." Well, there's a lot of truth just in that. God loved, and so He gave. Can I tell you, one of the biggest things that you need to understand about your giving is if you love right, you will give right. And if you don't give right, there's an absence of love somewhere along the way. God is the great giver. God is our great example of giving. There are a lot of things out there in our world. There are systems that collect funds and collect money. You have all heard of the new GoFundMe accounts that can be set up. I was looking into them recently, and it's a fundraising platform. It's there to help people and help organizations raise money. I was just shocked to death. There was someone trying to raise money on GoFundMe to have their tattoos removed. I do not think that was the original intent of GoFundMe. Then, get this. There was someone that was raising money on GoFundMe for potato salad. They had raised $55,000. I like potato salad myself. There was somebody that had a GoFundMe account set up, and it was for lotto assistance. Here's what happened. The lottery was at, some outrageous amount. They had spent all their money, everything they could get, trying to win the lottery. So they set up a GoFundMe account because they were asking people to give to help them to buy food and to pay their rent. Now that's how ingenious people in America are. There was one that had a GoFundMe account set up because they had received multiple parking tickets and they could not afford to pay for them. Now, if I were them, I'd move my car. There was another. There's a guy that had a meth fund for his methamphetamines. Now, he set it up when he was high, but he had a meth fund. He said, I do meth as a living, and things are slow right now. And there was a GoFundMe account where a guy said that he had never had a flat screen TV, and he was hoping that everybody would help buy him a 36-inch minimum television. GoFundMe. There's another that was having a 21st birthday party and was short on funds and wanted to know if people across America would contribute to their birthday party. Get this. There was one that had what is called their hedgehog support fund. a hedgehog is like a fancy guinea pig, if you will. And they needed money to help attend to the needs of their hedgehog. You can tell in America, we do have a grip on finances and we have a grip on what to do with our money. If you studied GoFundMe, you would find out that it is a money-raising platform, and it's there for people that would face challenging circumstances, or people maybe that have been in accidents and people would like to contribute, people that have had illnesses and people would very kindly contribute, valid needs, adoptions, emergencies, events that are beyond someone's control, and then people could very kindly then contribute. And I'm good with that. I don't understand why someone would think that a hedgehog fund makes any sense at all. But people out there and their understanding of money is pretty limited. I want to do something here real quick. Brother Tyler, could you help me for a second? I want to do a little illustration here. Tyler, let me ask you this question. The Bible teaches that we're to give to the Lord, we're to give a tithe, and we're to give offering. The tithe is one-tenth of our gross income, and then the offering is something above that. But let me ask you this question. If God were to give you $1 trillion, and so you all know I have a $1 trillion bill, I'm not sure whether it's real or not, but I have a hunch, but Tyler will never know the difference. Tyler, if God gave you $1 trillion, would you promise that you would tithe?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Thanks. Good. Well, let me ask you this. Well, wonder if it wasn't $1 trillion. I have here in my hand a $1 billion bill. Not as much as $1 trillion, but it's pretty good chunk of money. Tyler, if God were to give you not $1 trillion, but $1 billion, would you tithe and give offering? You would?
You're a really, really good guy. You know it, Tyler.
Now, I have a $1 million bill here. And it says right here, in God we trust. All others pay cash. But I've got a $1 million bill here. But if God were to give you $1 million, would you tithe and would you give an offering? Good, Tyler. Tyler, I have a $1 bill here.
That's real.
Yeah, it is. This one's real. It's the only one of all of them I had. Matter of fact, I don't have any others. I just have ones. Now, Tyler, if God gave you $1, would you promise to tithe and give offering?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks, Tyler. You can have all of that. And don't spend it all in one place. You say, well, Pastor, if God gave me $1 trillion, I'd tithe. Well, but Pastor, if God would give me $1 billion, I'd tithe. If God would give me $1 million, I would tithe. Can I explain something to you? If you won't tithe on the $1 he gave you, what assurance does he have that you'd tithe on $1 trillion? If you can't do the simple thing of giving a dime out of every dollar, how could God trust to give you $1 million or $1 billion or $1 trillion? You see, our tithe and offering is not based on how much money we have, but it's based on what we are and how much we trust God. You say, what do you mean by what we are? Obedient to the Scripture. That's all. Don't ever forget that everything that we have, God gave to us. So everything you have, God gave you. Then he asked for a portion back. And I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think God's being unkind. You say, well, it's kind of like God's this big bully up in heaven trying to get my money. Oh, not at all. I hope you understand, God doesn't need it. You say, then why give it? Because he knows that you need to give it. That's why. So if ever in your thinking, you're thinking, why in the world would God that owns everything want something of me? Well, it's not going to increase him any. Well, then who's it going to help? You and me. And so that's why. Now, scripturally, there's a couple of ways of getting money. You work for it, and then you pray for it. And, you know, I think somebody could set up donations and be praying that God would meet a need, and God would meet that need. I'm going to use 5 or 6 words. I'll be very quick, but I'm going to just talk to you about the thing of giving and how we are to give to the Lord. I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to talk about the word for a second. There'll be a verse with it, and we'll be done. How are we to give to the Lord? How are you and I to give to the Lord? Well, let me tell you this. I think you ought to give systematically. Let me explain what I mean by that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2, the Bible says this: upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, that is talking about the first day of the week we go to church, and God is basically saying, you give to the Lord on Sunday, right after you get paid or you get your increase. Now, I realize that not everybody gets paid on Sunday. I can remember back. Now, I don't know what the military does now, but there was a time in our country when military got paid once a month. Then I think it went maybe to once every 2 weeks. Now, I'm not sure they get paid at all, do they? But what God is saying here, he said in 1 Corinthians 16:2, he said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So he's saying, get you a system in your giving. He suggests right after you get paid, the very next Sunday, you then should give your tithe and you should give your offering. Now, I really think when I say systematically, I think the wise thing and the scriptural thing to do is if you get paid weekly, you should give to the Lord weekly. And that means the tithe and the offering. I'm going to say something else that it's extremely practical, but I really believe it. I think the quicker you allocate that money, write that check, the quicker you do it, the better off you are. Because here's what will happen. If you don't tithe or give immediately, something will come up. And if you're not careful, you'll spend money that really isn't yours. That tithe, that one-tenth, is the Lord's. So I say weekly, as soon after your check, on the very first Sunday you're in church, then I would say do it very, very quickly and get a rhythm in it. Here's what Mrs. Owens and I have done through the years. We give from every week. We get our paycheck. We write immediately. We write out our tithe for the Lord. And now, if we're going to go on vacation, we'll be gone a couple of weeks. We'll make sure that we give before we go. And you say, why? Because if I take that money with me, I'm liable to spend it at Disney World on the loopity loop, the round around, the make me puke machine, or whatever you're riding. And I know a lot of people go on vacation and they'll become outlandish in spending their money. But let me tell you something: don't become outlandish of spending God's money when you're on vacation. So, just the word systematically. God is saying, get a system and stay with that system. The government has a system to tax you. And what do? Every week, they take their cut. They never miss. They've got a rhythm of sticking their hand in your wallet. And it works. It works. Okay, so individually. Number two, listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 16, 2 again, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Now, what's it saying? Now, we're again talking about the tithe and the offering, and he said, every one of you. Now, that's not real hard to understand. When he says, every one of you, let me explain what that means. Every man should do this. Do what? Well, he should tithe and give his offering systematically, quickly, weekly. And every woman, every teenager, every child, new Christians and old Christians. Let me explain. Once I was trying to help a family with their finances, and we were talking the man worked a job and his wife worked a little part-time job. And they said, Pastor, we've learned to give and to tithe. I said, well, that is very good. I'm glad that now that will help you financially. God has a way of getting involved in blessing your finances when you tithe. And the woman said, well, my husband, he gives tithe on his paycheck, but I keep mine. But our family's tithing because my husband's had a household. I said, well, your husband's tithing, but you're not. She said, you mean me too? And I said, yeah. She said, but I don't make very much. I said, but see, I said, ma'am, tithing is not based on how much you make. It's based on your obedience to what God said. So now, let me explain what we did with our children. My daughter sits right over here. My daughter was born. We had money given to our family for her. She's a week old. We took a tithe from that and gave it on her behalf because we wanted her to be blessed of God throughout her financial life. And so when she was one and she got a birthday card with a dollar in it, I sat down at the kitchen table and I put 10 dimes out on the table. And I said, sweetheart, there are 10 dimes here. That's $1. One of those dimes belongs to Jesus, and we pulled it aside. She would also tell you this. I said, now, we're not going to spend the other 9. You're going to take a little part of this and you're going to save it. Now, go buy candy with the rest. I taught my children 3 things. You tithe, you save, and you spend. Wouldn't it be good if everybody here had been taught that from the day that you were born? You tithe, you save, you spend. You say, I learned one of them. Spend. So individually, I am to tithe as a man. Mrs. Owens is to tithe. When Charlotta was a wee little tot as a baby, she tithed. Later on, my kids grew up and started earning money. They would mow yards and babysit and sell drugs and things. But when they were teenagers, they were taught to tithe off their funds. So when he said, if you were listening to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2, listen to what it says. It tells us there, it says upon the first day of the week, that's get a system here, get a rhythm in it. And he says, let every one of you. There's a lot of teaching there. Little ones, big ones. Everybody should learn to give and to tithe. Okay? So it's systematically. And then right giving, we do it individually. Then thirdly, we're to do it proportionately. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says this, all the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, Malachi 3:10 talks to us about bringing our tithe into the storehouse. Now, let me explain. The word tithe means one-tenth. And so God is saying, I want you to give a tithe, and it's not off of our net, it's off of our gross. You say, why is that? Because the Bible talks about we tithe off of all of our increase. Well, and in all reality, we tithe on more than just our money. Again, when my family, when my kids were growing up, they watched their mom and dad do this. If you, and we've been the preacher's household for a long, long time. And there are times when we didn't have money, but God always provided for us. There were times we were out of money. We couldn't have bought groceries if we wanted to. But God would bring bags of groceries and He would use a person, but He would drop them off at our house. And I've watched my wife on more than one occasion standing in the kitchen at the counter weeping, looking into bags of groceries and saying, these are the things I would have bought had I gone to the store. And then I watch her do this. She'll take a 10-pound bag of potatoes and set a portion of it aside. She'd get a little grocery bag. She'd take one-tenth of what was given to us, put it in a little bag, and we'd take it to somebody and give it to them. Say, why? We had been given increase. And the Bible says that we are to tithe on all our increase. So the word is proportionately. So I am to give systematically. I am to give individually. I am to give proportionately. Then the next one I want to show you is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, and a lot of you have heard this verse before. It's the word cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, and the Bible says this: every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, here it's talking about our attitude about giving. We're to have a good attitude about our giving. And you've heard me say this often enough. It doesn't need to be repeated, but I just like saying it again. I heard a guy teaching one time saying, listen, if you can't give your tithe and give it cheerfully, you should not give it. That is not a scriptural approach at all. That it's just like the United States government. They don't say to you, if you can't give your tax and give it cheerfully, don't give it. That's not how they see it. And your bank doesn't say about your car payment, look, if you can't make your car payment, make it cheerfully. You don't have to make it. No, you need to do it. But, you know, we ought to do it cheerfully. You say, well, preacher, how do we give our tithe, or how do we give our offering, and how is it a cheerful thing? Well, first of all, you ought to be cheerful you had anything to give. We could take you to areas in the world where they live off of what you throw in the trash can, that quantity of food. You can't figure out what to wear on Sunday. They don't have any choice. They will wear what they have on their back. But we are to give cheerfully. I think that means that we should tithe with a very good attitude. I think also we ought to give offering with a good attitude. There's a church up near Richmond, Virginia, and the pastor is insistent upon this cheerful giving thing. And if you ever went to their church, you'd think they were coming unglued at offering time. Because you go to pass the hat, and every time somebody puts something in, they say, "Hey, man!" And then they say, "Glory to God! Hallelujah!" And so there's like this little Babdecostal revival breaking out during the offering. And people get up during the offering and take a lap around the building and everything. And don't you do that. You'll fall and hurt yourself. But boy, they get excited about it. Now, we don't do that here, though I would if you gave enough money. We could. We could start doing that. But I think God is telling us, this is your attitude. And the Bible says cheerfully, let's be happy that we get to give. And don't do it with a grudge in your heart toward God. God knows what He's doing. And God's not trying to do something to you. God's trying to do something for you. And remember, for God so loved the world that He gave. And God doesn't have to have it. God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. And God knows something that you don't know. And that's why He does it. Now, you say, but Pastor, what is the tithe used for? Well, here at our church, it helps to keep the church running. It helps the church to function. There's electricity and bus routes, and there's water, and there's so many things. Just like, hey, this is a house of the Lord. What does it take to run your household? It takes almost the very same thing to run the Lord's household. And so, but God says cheerfully. So we use the word systematically. We use the word individually, the word proportionately, the word cheerfully. Then I'm going to throw the word sacrificially in here. John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, I want to point something out to you. When God gave Jesus, we received the biggest gift that He could have given. Is it possible that there could have been another way? I don't know, but God didn't take another way. God decided if He's going to give, He's going to give sacrificially. Now, you say, what would you mean really by sacrificially? Well, I think God wants us to, I think He wants us to tithe and give offering when it's hard. I think He wants us to tithe and give offering when it's tight. I think even sometimes when we're scared or it's a little unpredictable what is in the future, but just sacrificially. And that's how God gave. God is the great giver. And when he gave, look at what he gave. He gave his only son. Now, everybody here, I will promise you that if there were a bunch of dirty, rotten, low-down, low-life, good-for-nothing sinners standing around, and someone walked up to you and said, hey, would you let your child die for that nasty-looking crew? You would say, I'm not going to let my child die for that nasty crew. God did. And we were that nasty crew. That's a pretty big sacrifice. So, I think God, by way of example, when he gave sacrificially. I'm going to throw another word in here, and we're almost to the end of the lesson. The word liberally. The word liberally. I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read verse number 2, where the Bible says this. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The riches of their liberality. What does that mean? Liberality is when someone is generous beyond what is required. This is going to sound silly, but I think we do this and we probably ought to think about it a little bit. Are you a penny pincher with God? You're going to figure your tithe down to the penny. We need a better calculator that'll break this down further to figure the tithe. Can I recommend that you learn to be a little more of a free giver? I have counseled lots of businessmen. I know lots of millionaires. I can tell you, I've talked to the millionaires. And I'm talking about godly Christian men that are worth millions upon millions of dollars. And I'll go to counsel a businessman, and a businessman will say to me, preacher, how should I handle my tithe and the business? And, you know, there's income and there's overhead and there's some complications involved, and I want to figure it all out. And I was speaking to a multi-millionaire one day, and I said, I really want to help businessmen. I really want to help them. Tell me something. Give me some advice to help people, especially businessmen with the complexities of, you know, the personal finances and business finances and overheads and all of that. And he immediately said, if ever they're in doubt, cheat themselves, don't cheat God. You hear what he said? Whenever you're in doubt, cheat yourself, don't cheat God. Amen. And that's where I get the penny pincher thing. He said, I had never been a penny pincher with God. He said this. He said, you know something? If I've ever wondered whether I ought to tithe on it or not, I just go ahead and do it. And he said, I could write a check for just about any amount of money that's needed for about any amount of anything that's needed today. And God's never pinched pennies with me. He said, so if you don't pinch pennies with God, God won't pinch pennies with you. Would it be possible that if you're penny pinching with God, when he goes to bless your tight little wallet, maybe he's not throwing as much back your way as what he could? Do you believe in sowing and reaping? Okay. I was talking to another multimillionaire in a totally different business. And one day he said this to me. He said, Brother Owens, you assure businessmen they cannot outgive God. Another told me the best investment in the world is in God's economy. So when I say liberally, what we're talking about is be generous with God. And when in doubt, err on God's behalf, not on your own. Be a free giver. Don't be restrained. Now, here's the part about this whole thing that just blows my mind. God gives me everything I have. He then asks that I give a portion back. He then says, if you will, I'll bless you for giving me back what is mine. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, His thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. You all can be glad I'm not God. Because if I gave you everything and then just asked for 10% back, I wouldn't feel obligated to turn around and say, well, thanks for giving me back what is already mine. I think I'm going to give you some more because you gave me back what was already mine. That makes no sense to me, and I'm glad God's God because He knows what He's doing. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And you can't outgive God. I don't understand the reward that comes for giving God back what was already God's. Kind of shows you, it's not that He has to have it. It's that He knows you need to give it. So it works like this. He gives me everything. I give Him a portion back. And He said, that is so good. Let me give you some more. And I give Him the tithe. And He says, let me give you some more. Now, there are GoFundMe accounts for some pretty crazy things. Maybe to the modern generation, so you understand, the tithe and the offering, it's God's GoFundMe. You say, for what, the church? Well, yes, but for you. Your GoFundMe account with God is when you give your tithe and offering, but you're the recipient of the blessing of what you give. And now, I know there are probably people in here, you say, oh, I've never tithed and I've never given offering like that. I could right now, I could begin to say to this congregation, I could say, if you're a tither, could you come up and testify for a moment? There'd be all sorts of people, person after person after person, that would step up here and say, I would never stop. I would never stop tithing. And they could tell you story after story after story of how God has met their needs. They could tell you about times when it was tight. They could tell you about times when it was difficult. But remember, Tyler said he would tithe if I gave him a trillion. He said he'd tithe if I gave him a billion. He said he would tithe if I gave him a million, or if God gave him a million. The only way God knows that you would tithe off a trillion is you'd tithe off of one. And if you're not tithing off of one, why should God ever trust you with a million? That makes sense to my little country boy brain. I hope it makes sense to yours.